Today's passage is Hosea 11, 1 through 11. I'll be reading from the NIV version. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. But the more I loved Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burnt incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. I lifted the yoke from their neck and bent down to feed them. Will they not return to Egypt, and will not Assyria rule over them because they refuse to repent? Swords will flash in their cities, will destroy the bars of their gates, and will put an end to their plans. My people are determined to turn from me, even if they call to the Most High, he will by no means exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admon? How can I make you like Zebulun? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God, and not you, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like birds from Egypt, like doves from Assyria. I will settle them in their homes, declares the Lord.
For those who have the opportunity, being a parent is a unique thing. It's a pleasure. It's challenging. And sometimes you wonder where the others may have lived. Because you just don't know what to do in some situations. As I was sitting there thinking about it, and Deanna and I's children now are 30, 27, and next week, 25. There's a difference now in being a parent for them. Now I'm smart again. Those of you that have raised kids know what I'm talking about. From about the age of 13 to at least 21 to 25, parents are not very smart at all. They seem to not understand the world or know what's going on. And then all of a sudden your children become 25 and above, and overnight you become a genius. And you become one who says things, and they say, gosh, Dad, you really do know what you're talking about. Maybe some of you are still hoping that you'll get through that phase okay. Some of you might be hoping that sooner or later you'll smarten up, or at least from the perspective of your children. As I sat there thinking about the treasures of raising the three children that we did, there were lots of ups. There were lots of exciting times. There were lots of times that I have been incredibly proud of what my children have done and what they continue to do. My oldest son has two children now, and as I watch that happen, what an exciting thing that is. Not just so much for me being a grandpa, but just watching them raise these two young ones. As I think about my daughter and the work that she does as a social worker, I'm incredibly impressed at how she has helped people. I'm incredibly impressed how she continues to stick with people to try to encourage them and help them to live a better life. As I look at my youngest son, who will be 25 next week, an incredibly intelligent young man, and I'm not saying that just because I'm his father. We didn't know until he was almost done with his associate's degree that he had all straight A's. He was not one to ever talk about it, and I never saw him study. be was a car mechanic. And I had a number of great folks come to me and say, don't let him do that. He needs to go off to college and get a big degree and go get a big job. And I just looked at folks and I said, well, my car's broke. I'd love to have a straight-A student fixing it rather than the one who just got through trade school. He's doing amazing things in a service job in helping people out. Now, I tell you all that, but I also can tell you that there were many tough times with all three of them. There were many times that I thought they would walk a different path than they walked. There are many times that I wish they would choose differently. But you see, I can't live my life through them. And I can't live their life for them. Both Deanne and I refuse to be what nowadays is called helicopter parents. Or lawnmower parents, if you've never heard that term. A lawnmower parent is one that goes before their kids and cuts down all the obstacles so that they never have to struggle. And I refuse to do that. Because there's something about the struggles that helps us grow. There's something about those obstacles that increases our chance of being the people that God wants us to be. And as I think about God being my parent, God's letting me go through some tough times. And sometimes I wonder, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why must I go through something like this? And sometimes I would think I'd go back and change some things and make some different decisions. But I truly know that that has made me who I am today. And that without those times and without those situations and without those dry spots in my life, I wouldn't be who I am. I'd be somebody completely different. You see, God wants to be our parent. Let me say that even a different way. God is our parent. And I'm going to intentionally use the word parent today because I believe that God sometimes serves me as a father would. And sometimes God serves me as a mother would. Sometimes God just reaches down as a mother and grabs a hold of me and says, I just want to love on you for a while. I can never imagine my dad doing that. But I can always imagine my mom or my grandma doing that. Reaching down and saying, just sit here for a minute and I want to love on you. And there are passages that talk about that aspect of God. Jesus cries outside the city of Jerusalem. And he says, if only you would trust me so that I could be like a mother hen and gather you up under my wings and take care of you. You see, God is always our parent. God has been leading us all along as we've grown spiritually. God has always been there. God will continue to be there to lead us. God wants to be our parent. And God wants to reach out to us in dynamic and powerful ways to be a parent to us. You see, this passage in Hosea is an incredible, if you'll just sit with it and just spend some time with it and read it over and over again, I want to admit to you that at the first reading, I didn't get it. At the second reading, I didn't get it. At the tenth reading, I didn't get it. But as I sit with it, I see what God is doing here and what God is saying, because these are God's words and God speaking to us. So God has been leading us all along as we have grown spiritually. Listen to the first four verses. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to Baals, and they burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms, but they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek. And I bent down to feed them. Spiritually, God is constantly about that. Spiritually, God is reaching down to lift us up, to guide us, to teach us how to walk spiritually, to teach us how to understand things spiritually. God is that heavenly parent. Last week we looked at Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches them to pray, probably in Aramaic, even though it's been recorded in Greek. He probably taught them in Aramaic to say Abba, which is Aramaic for father. Actually, it's Aramaic for dada, is what it is. And Jesus says you can call God dada. This is the kind of heavenly parent that we have. And that's not the only place in the scriptures that Jesus uses that very familiar and common name for God. Dad. Now I know some of you are sitting there saying, oh, it's Father with a capital F. But Jesus is saying, I want you to understand this is how close it is. And you can see it in this passage in Hosea. It is that close. Because God says, I taught you how to walk. I lifted you up to my cheek and I kissed on you. That's how close and intimate a relationship God wants with us. And God has always been doing that, whether we've been paying attention or not. Am I always trying to love on my kids? Most definitely. Most definitely. Are they always aware of it? No. Do they always want it? Not in front of their friends, right? I'm loving on them in front of their friends. They might be a little skittish, especially my boys. Although they've learned to be okay with it. I want to make sure that I never leave them and I never stop talking with them at one moment. But they don't know. I love you. I care for you. I want to always be there for you. I always want to help you. So I'm always telling all three of my kids that. And that's what God is trying to tell us. I love you. I care for you. Now, even with this continual guidance, most people give lip service to God and they turn to their own ways. Most people have given lip service to God and they turn to their own ways. Go in any city, take a poll anywhere you want to, and people will tell you, I believe in God. But do they? Their lives don't show that. Their lives oftentimes don't show that they think of God as a heavenly parent. Instead, they give lip service to God and they go their own way. And that's the downfall of humanity. Going their own way and doing their own thing. Did my kids go their own way and do their own thing? More times than I got fingers. Did I tell them don't do that and they did it anyway? By the way, I think that when you tell teenagers don't do that, you're encouraging them to do it. There's something about that. I know. I was a teenager one time. And my mom said, don't do that. Oh, that was an invitation to do it one more time. And don't we do that sometimes? God tries to draw us in and draw us closer, and we turn from God and say, I can live my own life. I can make my own decisions. And God says, come here, come here, come here. I just want to love on you, and I want to help you, and I want to give you some guidance. No, God, I got this one. You got other big things in the world to worry about. This is one thing I got. I don't know about you, but every time I speak up and say, I got this one, I don't got this one. I can mess it up really quick in a hurry. You see, my heavenly parent wants to help me, wants to guide me, wants to instruct me. And yes, sometimes even I just give lip service. Say, I got this one. Go ahead, God. You can take care of somebody else for a few moments. I got this one. You know, it's when people realize God's compassion that they seek to follow the guidance and leading of God. When they realize the incredible compassion of God, then they seek to follow God. You see, for me, compassion means walking with another person through whatever they're going through. That prefix, C-O-N, that means with. Those of you that have your Latin background, it means with. With the passion, with what's happening, whether it's a good passion or a bad passion, being there with them and walking with them. So when we realize God's compassion, then we're willing to seek, then we're willing to seek and follow the guidance of God. Remember I told you that, and some of you know this experience, probably better than I do. I told you that when they're teenagers, you're not so smart as a parent. The same thing happens in our relationship with God. There's a point in time in our spiritual development that we're teenagers. And some of us stay teenagers in our spiritual development. And we don't understand the incredible compassion of God. Where God says, I will walk with you. I will give you guidance. I will help you. Makes me think back to my good friend Dan. He died of liver cancer a number of years ago. But as a pastor, I had never walked as close as I walked to Danny during the time that he struggled with liver cancer. And when he got the diagnosis, there was nothing they could do but make him comfortable from here on out. Just him and I were sitting there, and I said, Danny, I said, I don't know what's going to happen for you. I can't give you any ideas. I have no experience here. I said, but if you'll allow me, I'll walk with you. That's compassion. I walked with Danny through all of his struggles, through all of his ups. He was on hospice for a while, and then it got so well that they said, we're dropping you off of hospice. And then he was back on hospice for a while. He was such an encouragement to so many other folks. And I'm sharing this story with you because this is what God wants to do with you. God wants to walk the journey with you. God wants to bring you the guidance. And God's compassion is so strong that God says, I have changed my mind. Now, to me, that's absolutely incredible that God even says that. How can I give you up, Ephraim, in verse 8? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I treat you like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? Those were two towns that were very close to Sodom and Gomorrah when they were destroyed. God says, my heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. God says, even though you continue to walk away from me, even though you continue to try to walk your own way, even though you continue to not want to listen to me, not want to take my insight, my guidance, my wisdom, even though in the midst of me, anger boils up and wrath boils up, how can I destroy my children? Those of you that have raised children, I know there's bound to have been times that it boiled up within you, and you maybe said something silly like this, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out of it, too. Hope my oldest son doesn't listen to this, but I want to share a story. I didn't ask his permission, but he got together with another young man, and they both grew up together. They used to come across the street and visit with his grandpa. His grandpa had bought an old school bus. And those of you that live in the country, the reason the old school bus was bought was to make it another storage shed. It wasn't bought to drive. It wasn't bought to be moved at any time. It was going to be a storage shed. And the two of them then got together. I don't even know how they came up with the idea. Well, I do too. I would enjoy probably doing it too, but wisdom told me it was not a good thing to do. They decided to throw rocks and bust every window in that bus. Not just one or two windows, but every window. Yeah, my anger is raising a little bit right now. Because I can remember talking to him. At what point did you think that was a good idea? To which response I got, well, such and such was doing it too. At what point did you think that was a good idea? I'm still alive because compassion won out. And you see, that's what God's trying to tell us in this passage. You're still alive and walking the spiritual path because compassion won out. My anger and wrath did not. I had to put it aside. I could not continue on that path because I love you so much, because I raised you up. I taught you how to walk. I loved on you when you needed to be loved. A heavenly parent with great and incredible compassion. Isn't that wonderful? No matter how many times we turn and walk away from God, no matter how many times we make God upset with us or angry because we have not walked the way that we're supposed to walk, God takes a deep breath and says, compassion wins out. And when we realize that, we're willing to open ourselves up to God in tremendous ways. When we realize that, we're willing to open ourselves up in tremendous ways. Because compassion wins out. ask you this question. Knowing that some of you might say, well, I have already. But I'm going to be confessional with you. I know that I need to do it better than I ever have before, especially after finally getting this passage this week. Will you turn back to your heavenly parent and accept the tender, loving care and guidance of God? Will you turn back to your heavenly parent and accept the tender, loving care and guidance of God? I tell you, I know I need to do it better because sometimes I make it about me. Sometimes I make it about what I want. Am I willing to let God love on me and make it about what God wants? That's what I'm asking you. Not to design things by human's ways, but letting God love on you and love through you to those that are around us. Are you willing to give over to that? Let's pray. Lord, how incredible this passage is. How sometimes it takes us so long to read it and see it. But Lord, you're willing to work with us. You're willing to take a deep breath and say, I'll try to love on you one more time. I'll try to reach out to you in a deeper way. I'll take a breath and set aside any anger and wrath that I have, so I can teach you how to grow spiritually. Lord, thank you for being our heavenly parent. Thank you for being so willing to take the time with us that we might grow spiritually. Lord, help each one of us to make the decisions that we need to make. But may that first decision be that we'll let you be our parent. And that no matter how old we get, we'll let you guide us. We'll let you show us compassion. We'll let you walk with us. As you give us incredible treasures in the midst of this world. Lord, thank you. Thank you so, so much. In Jesus' name we pray.